Today, if you'll go to my PowerPoint here today, I'll just apologize ahead of time for some of my clips I have here today. One didn't work. You're going to hear a voice. Some of the music's too loud. So I got it offline, so it's not their fault. All right, it's just the quality of what we're doing here today. Just give you apologies. So you're going to have to tune in when the clips are played so that you can kind of understand where I'm going in my message here today. I'm talking about uncommon men, and I got to thinking about it. We're trying to think of gifts for our guys, and you'll receive a gift here at the end of the service. But we had to tie something into the gift. So I had the sermon written, and then I had to go back and add it, flipping the script, all right? So you'll understand the gift here in a minute as we give them out to you, because God is flipping the script of our life. I don't know if you had plans for your life or you had in your mind as you were growing up or going through college, this is what I want to do with my life, this is where I'm going. How many know God has a way of flipping that around, and your life is a lot different than what you expected? I wanted to be in the game commission. I wanted to be out in the woods. I wanted to be by myself. And so where am I? God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? I couldn't even stand up in front of people in speech class. And sometimes even here, my stomach was in knots all morning, just getting ready for today. But God calls who he calls, right? And he puts us in positions that, and he makes the common uncommon. And so that's going to be kind of our theme here today. I want to begin by defining, that's me up there when I was younger. In my dreams. But anyway, I want to define the word common here this morning. How many know the word common is common? All right? Common is in abundance. I mean, we live in a common world. Every day is a common day. We kind of do the same thing in and out. But I want to define the word common here. Common is mediocre. It's keeping the status quo. It's ordinary, run-of-the-mill, average, mundane. How many know common is predictable? It's routine. It's humdrum. It's dreary. It's monotonous. It's tedious, boring, uninteresting, dreary, dull. And you could probably think up a lot more words than that. But that's what common is all about. So I'm going to begin here. We're going to talk about Paul a little bit here this morning and how his life kind of applies to our life. Sometimes we put Paul on a pedestal. We think he was this great man. But Paul was a common man who did extraordinary things. And we need to understand that. In Acts 22, verse 3 and 4 says, I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as what? Any of you. So he's not saying I was more zealous than any. He said, just like you, I was zealous for God. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. That's a little bit uncommon. We wouldn't be that zealous, most of us. But he was a Pharisee. And how many know that when Jesus was on the earth, the Pharisees wanted to do him in? They were just as zealous as Paul was to get rid of Jesus. So if we jump to Philippians chapter 3, we kind of read a little bit more about Paul's life. It says, For it is we who are of the circumcision. We were to serve God by the Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. So he's not so humble as he writes this. But if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law of Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. So we begin to look at Paul's life here. Paul was a person of confidence. How many would say Paul is very confident, self-confident in himself? He was circumcised on the eighth day. He was a member of the tribe of Benjamin, which was the smallest of the tribes. He was a Hebrew. He was zealous for the law. And as far as the law was concerned, faultless. Basically, he was saying, I was a good person. All right? But as we know, Paul was a preacher who was preaching the wrong message. And so enters in Jesus. Paul meets Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he kind of flips the script in the life of Paul. So we read, we continue there in Philippians verse 7. It says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss. How many of us have gone to that point? Everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. So we look at this and we see he considered his heritage and his accomplishments as a loss. And as I was going through this, I remembered the song to the old rugged cross. I will cling to the old rugged cross till what? All my trophies at last I lay down. So Paul encountered that in his life. He encountered Jesus and all those things that he considered trophies, awards, he said, they're nothing compared to knowing Jesus. And he said there, all else is garbage. Some translations say dung. Am I there? All right. Maybe I wasn't supposed to say the next word. We're not allowed to say that word in church. But that's what Paul's saying. It's that. Paul stepped out of the shadow of his own pursuits into the light of God's purpose. So what happened was he stepped out of being common to becoming an uncommon individual. So I want to go to Acts chapter 17. And I want to read some more. Now when they had passed through these two places, and I'm not even going to try to attempt it, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that Christ had suffered and he had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is Christ. And some of them were persuaded. And a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathering a mob set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city crying out, and this is our phrase for today, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason had harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying, there is another king, Jesus. And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. So this is a story of Paul turning from being common to uncommon. And we see here that he was called to be a preacher. He kind of found his place. And so that's what we want to look at here this morning. How does a man flip the script and become uncommon? So that's our question here today. How does a man flip the script and become uncommon? So the first one is, don't be like anybody else. Ooh, that's a deep revelation, isn't it? Don't be like anybody else. We're going to show a clip here of Tony Dungy, or at least hear a clip of Tony Dungy. He was a football player. He was a coach. He was an assistant coach. He was a coach that won a Super Bowl. He was a sports commentator. And he is probably one of the most respected football players or individuals that I respect because of his witness for Jesus Christ. That is one man who is not ashamed to be identified with Christ. And so we're going to play that clip for you to listen to. There's not going to be any picture. Listen.
Tell us all the time that you're Dungeons, you're different, you don't have to do what the world does. The world is doing something you want to do it, good, do it. But if everybody's doing something you don't want to do, you do something else and get them to follow you. Don't follow just because everybody else is doing it. over and over and over and over, he would tell us that. I get to the University of Minnesota. Our coach there, the first meeting we have, he said, I'm looking for uncommon men. He said, I can't win a championship with common people, with average people. I need uncommon. And then he said, there's two ways you can be uncommon. You can either have a talent that's so rare that nobody else has it, or you can have a drive in your heart that makes you work so hard that you do things that everybody else could do, but the average person won't. And as soon as he said that, I said, that's me. That's the way I want to be uncommon. I want to outwork everybody here and do it that way. Well, then as I got to Pittsburgh and I'm reading, I'm in this Bible study, and I get to Matthew chapter 7, and Jesus is saying that there's a broad way that everybody follows, and then there's a little narrow path that nobody's on. And that's the right path, the path that follows me. Be on that uncommon, narrow path.
All right. So I just want to recap some... That didn't sound good, did it? Recap some of the things that he said. All right. So he was saying here, his father instructed him, if you're a dungy, be a dungy. Don't be somebody else. Don't follow the crowd. In fact, he's encouraged them, be the leader where people follow you. You're different. You're unique. And so that was instilled with him, not only by his parents, but when he went to Minnesota. So I just want to encourage you here as we're walking through this. In this, he's saying, do what you were created to do and let others follow you. He said there's two ways to be uncommon. He said the first one was that you have an extraordinary rare talent that sets you apart. And we all know people that are just so talented, they kind of make you gag. You know those type of people that no matter what they put their hand to, they're very good at it. It doesn't matter if it's musically, if they're a speaker, or if they're handy with their hand. They're just very talented. There are some extraordinary people. And if you're into sports, you know that there are those that rise above everybody else in sports. And so that's the minority. And Paul really didn't fit into the minority here. Paul fell into the second category here. The people that have a drive in your heart that makes you work harder than anyone else, and you do what others are not willing to do. And so Paul fell into that category. It said over and over again, he was zealous. He was zealous. Because Paul said, I didn't come with eloquent speech, right? He said, I preach, what? Under the power of the Holy Spirit. So there was what? There was not only just the word going forth, but he was doing things. He was healing people. The supernatural was with Paul. So Paul was one of those individuals that was determined. He was zealous. He was passionate about following God. He mentioned Matthew chapter 7 that there are two roads. There is the broad road and the crowd that there is the broad road that the crowd follows, and there is the narrow road that only a few take. And that's true even in the church, isn't it? There are those who get in, those who serve, those who put all in, and then there are those that do not. So often we allow our environment to shape us or squelch what God has placed within us. How many would say that Paul was like no one else? Paul was like nobody else, even in the Bible. He was an incredible individual. And I want to say here today, so are you. And most of us fall probably into that second category here today. I don't know, maybe you consider yourself extraordinary in some area of your life. I don't consider myself extraordinary in any area specifically in my life. But there is a passion that drives. Same with you. Is there a passion that drives you that you're willing to do, go above what others are not willing to do? And so, men, what would happen if we showed up as uncommon men in our homes, our workplaces, our communities, our churches? You see, the problem with our homes, our workplaces, our community, our church, and even our country is they are run by common men. How many of you know that the president, Donald J. Trump, is not a common man? How many would say we're pretty safe in saying he is not common? Amen? Whether you like him or dislike him, he is uncommon. He is like nobody else on this planet, right? Whether you agree with his politics, whether you agree with what he is or his personality, it doesn't matter. He is an uncommon individual. And so we compare that to Paul. Paul was an individual here today. Like Paul in Acts chapter 17, 6, those who have turned the world upside down have come here now. How many know our president has turned the world upside down? He has impacted every nation on earth. And Paul is coming into a community, and Paul has a reputation of going into cities in Asia, and he's turning things around. He is turning what is upside down. He's actually turning them upright as he preaches Jesus Christ. Like you, I watch movies. I like action movies, but how many know some of the action movies, if you're a Christian, they're a little hard to watch? How many know most action movies have a lot of foul language? How many know there's a lot of sex in action movies? But I like to watch movies based on true stories. I'm not a Hallmark fan, so as you know. Yes, shame on you. It will not happen. It will not happen. Karen watches Hallmark. I watch my iPad. I like to watch movies based on true stories. I know at least one here is not basically a true story, but I like those feel-good stories. I like those stories that people go against all odds and wonderful, incredible things happen because they push through. We call them inspirational. And so in these movies, common people, and I just picked movies that had men, who accomplished incredible achievements, who inspired others because they were like nobody else and believed like nobody else. Let me just name a few movies here as we move on. Miracle on Ice, if you remember that. A coach came in and took the men's hockey team against Russia in Lake Platte, and they won. Remember that movie? We remember the Titans. A school that had faced segregation. They were being desegregated, and a black coach was put over the white coach in a previously white school. And so we see there an individual who had turned it around and took their team to the championship. How many of you ever watched The Rookie? It's about a baseball, right? An individual who blew his shoulder out pitching as a young man, went to teaching, and he inspired his team. A losing team, if they made it to the playoffs, he would try again to go out and try out for a baseball team. And, of course, he took their team. And, of course, he is the oldest rookie. What's his name? Do you know a fan? No, I don't think it's him. But, anyway, he took them there. I'm addressing him because he was shaking his head, yes. But that's okay. Yeah, it's a good movie. I recommend these movies. Glory Road, the Hoosiers, right? Basketball story, good stuff. I just watched, this is not probably a true story, but Mr. Holland's Opus. Ooh, I love that movie. It makes you cry. An individual who wanted to compose for a living, and he ended up being a teacher, which he didn't want to do. And so he ends up spending 30 years of his life, and his opus ends up being his students. There's Iron Will. How many ever watched Iron Will? Dog race up in Cali where he saves his farm and all that good stuff. Spare Parts. Another teacher comes into a school and there's a bunch of high school misfits, and he takes them and creates a robotics club, and he competes against college teams and they win. Not just once, two, but multiple times against college level robotic clubs. And Radio, I don't know if you ever watched that one. That's a good movie, too, where a coach kind of inherits a special needs individual, a guy, and he becomes the school mascot. He becomes pretty much the mascot of the whole town. And so I'm just throwing these out there, that there are some good movies out there. There are inspirational movies. And they were individuals, most of these, outside of their sphere of influence, remained unknown but to those whose lives they touched. And so they were known only because someone wrote about them, or someone made a movie about them, or they would have been they would have just gone down the road unknown by those outside of those that they influenced. They were men who decided to be like nobody else. They decided to be themselves. So here today, you don't have to be uncommon. You don't have to act like somebody else. You need to act like you. Because God created you to be you. And so when we walk in that, God can flip the script in our life. Because he wants to use each and every one of us. So, how does a man flip the script and become uncommon? Don't be like everybody else. Be different. Be you. How does a man flip the script and become uncommon? They need to recognize that there is a seed of uncommonness in them. So, we're going to look at this clip.
You got to watch this.
So God created fish to swim, but fish don't have to take swimming lessons because the swim is already in the fish. God created birds to fly, but birds don't have to attend flight school because the flight is already in the bird, right? God created seeds to become trees, but seeds don't have to go to a gardening class because the tree is already in the seed. So you see, success is built in, but not only is success built in, if you are doing what God created you to do, success is actually the default. All of God's creation succeeds naturally when it functions according to its design. And humans are the same way, but the problem is most people are disconnected from design. Most people are trying to succeed outside of what they were created for, you know? A fish looks untalented on land. A bird looks weak underwater. A seed looks dead on the concrete. But none of them are failures. They're just in the wrong environment. So success isn't about effort, it's about alignment. When you are doing what God created you for, there's a different level of grace attached to it. And it's not because it's easy, it's because you are literally designed for it.
So there is a seed of success in each one of us here today. Success is built into all of us. Success is a default. It comes naturally when we walk aligned with the purposes in which we were created. Success is not about effort, but alignment. I love that. How many of us went out for sports, and you might have tried multiple sports, but how many know you probably excelled in just probably one of those sports? There are those who excel in a lot of them, but most of us excelled in one. How many of us went to college and actually accomplished or actually are walking in the education that we got in college? Most people do not. Our careers, right? We plan on this is what I'm going to do with my life. We get out of college. We get out of school. We move on. And we end up doing something totally outside of what we thought was what we wanted to do. So success is not about effort, but alignment. I love that. Men become uncommon when they align with the purpose of which God created them. I want to read a scripture out of Esther. I said this wasn't for ladies, and it's not. So Esther 4:14, you know this scripture, and this is Mordecai, her cousin, who's talking to Esther. He says, "For if you remain silent," how many know the story of Esther, that Haman made a rule, they were going to destroy all the Jews, and Esther and Mordecai were Jews. And so he's saying this to Esther, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." I want to tell you today that Esther was just another pretty face. I believe the real hero of this story is Mordecai. Think about Mordecai. He was the one who raised Esther. He was the one who she went to every time there was an issue. Mordecai checked on her daily. And when she was in trouble, or when the Jews were in trouble, Mordecai called for Esther and said, "You need to do something about it." And who was the second most powerful person? Mordecai. So here was an individual. We look at Esther. Yes, she played an important part. Yes, the book's written about her. But I think somehow we overlook Mordecai and how this common individual became uncommon because of what he accomplished. Because there was a seed within him that he aligned with, and he became eventually the second leader in all of Babylon. Is it Babylon? Assyria? Anybody? Read your Bibles, please. Leaves me off the hook, doesn't it? All right. So from the beginning in Genesis 1, God gave creation the ability to reproduce itself, right? We see that in the very beginning in Genesis 1, the seed, they're seed-bearing plants and trees, right? They bear seeds, and what they reproduce. Animals that would reproduce after their own kind, right? That's what Jesus created here. So God created in his own image and patterned them after himself, Adam and Eve. God blessed them and told them to do what? Multiply, all right? Fill the earth and subdue it. So let's bring this back to Paul. We're talking about there is a seed of uncommonness in all people. So in Acts chapter 17, we read there, we're going to go to verse 2. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again. This whom I preach, he said, to you is Christ. And some of them were persuaded. Can I tell you here today that Paul, because of his passion, because of the call on his life, Paul was operating according to the seed within him, and he was successful. It says there in that scripture that a great multitude of devout Greeks began to follow him. It said not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. So the second thing we look here, how does a man flip the script and become uncommon? What? To recognize the seed of uncommonness in yourself. So the third one we look at here, how does a man flip the script and become uncommon? He must discover what's most important. So is there a video to this one or?
Well, I signed that deal for the Steelers. I got my $2,000 check. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I'm sitting in a chair like this, the very first meeting. Chuck Knowles, our head coach, and he gets up there. I'm writing, and I'm expecting him to say, if you work hard, you better work twice as hard to get ready to go. He didn't say any of that. He said, it's your profession. Don't make football your whole life. If you make football your whole life, you're going to be disappointed when you leave the game. Well, that was the number one thing that was really good for me to go to Pittsburgh. The number two thing is, so I get Donnie Shell as a roommate, and I didn't know it at the time, but now I'm rooming with the strongest Christian guy that I've ever been around. Donnie is reading his Bible every day in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning when we get up. He's reading at 10 o'clock at night after our meetings. After practice, he says, hey, after everything's over tonight, after the meetings, we have a Bible study. You really need to come. So I go in, he takes me in. There's 25 guys in there. And it's all my heroes, all the guys I looked up to, L.C. Greenwood, J.T. Thomas, Mel Blunt, John Stallworth. Mm. And they're in there studying the Bible. Being around these guys for a year and saying, it's not the football. That's not the most important thing in their lives. These guys were great family men. They had good, what I was looking for a wife, want to have kids. They're involved in the community, doing everything right, and winning Super Bowls. And I said, man, there's a reason why I got here. I didn't know it at the time, but there was a reason God wanted me to see that. Well, I signed that deal for the Steelers. I got my $2,000 check.
Gotta love this guy. So Chuck Knoll's advice to Tony Dungy was, after arriving to Pittsburgh as a defensive coordinator, was to set your priorities. Set your priorities. His mind was on football. And so we look at this, we see two things that set Tony Dungy on the path to becoming uncommon. Number one, Chuck Knoll told him in his very first meeting that football was his profession, and that when football was over, right, life goes on. And he said, if you focus on football, when it's over, you'll be disappointed. I like this story about Donnie Shell. and some of his other teammates modeled the Christian life before Tony Dungy. Sometimes we need to be reminded as we start closing down here. We go back to the story of Paul. Paul thought he was doing everything right until he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. You know, we can be living our life and it can be a full life. But what's our priority here this morning? Discover what's most important. Yes, family's important. Football was important to him. Community service, winning Super Bowls, sounds pretty good stuff. But the most important thing is God. Jesus called Paul to be uncommon. I believe he's calling all of us to be uncommon. And that common denominator there this morning is Jesus Christ. In the beginning, we defined the word common. And I just want to kind of go through some of these words here this morning. And I just want you to think about your life. I want to put this challenge out. Do any of these words kind of smack you between the eyes? Mediocre, status quo, ordinary, run of the mill, average, mundane. How about predictability, routine, humdrum, dreary, monotonous, tedious, boring, uninteresting, dreary, dull. See, common is common. But I don't believe any Christian should settle for the common life. I believe he wants us to be uncommon. You see, in all the movies that I mentioned, the main character did not act out of character. They were just being themselves and operating according to the seed that was within them. Men, the greatest act of heroism that you could demonstrate is being yourself. Being yourself and fulfilling God's given purpose. People are waiting for you to show up. He's waiting for us to show up in our homes. You might shock your wife. Your kids might ask you, "What's wrong with Dad?" If we showed up in the workplace, not just because we do a good job, but they recognize that there's something more to our life than just getting the job done. You know, we complain about our government, we complain about our communities, but how many are involved in our communities? The problem is they're run by common people. And God's saying, maybe you're the uncommon person that needs to be there. Church can be common. Come in, do the same thing, go through the same thing, you know, do our worship, have a sermon, and leave. It can be ordinary. But how many know that the church is not just this? You are the church. And folks, the problem with our culture today and our society today is that we've treated it like common. God is looking for the uncommon. Men, can it begin with us? Can we look at it and say, Lord, I don't want to just be common. How do we flip the script and become uncommon? If you'll come, music. Don't be like everybody else. Narrow is the path. Narrow is the path. Most are on the broad path. Going with the flow. Not sticking out of the crowd, just blending in with the crowd. Don't be like everybody else. Secondly, discover the uncommon seed that God has placed within you. Because he has placed the seed within you, it is the default to success. If you want to be a success, you need to find out the seed that God's placed within you. And thirdly, we need to live out what's most important. Discover what's most important. And I hope this morning that we have set Christ as our priority and that our life isn't being crowded out by all the other things. I'm going to ask every man to stand, whether you're a father or just a man. We want to pray over you this morning. And God has something much more than probably most of us are experiencing in our life. He doesn't want us just to be common. He's not asking you to be weird. He's not asking you to be a preacher. He's not asking you to do something outside of the seed that he's planted within you. That call that he's placed within you. I'm going to ask those that are near one of these men, I want you to lay hands on them here this morning. Move toward these men. I want every man to have somebody praying with them here this morning. Let's lay hands on them. Hallelujah. Father, I believe here this morning that this room is full of uncommon men. That, Lord, maybe we haven't lived up to the calling, but Father, at some point we've got to make a decision to take up our cross and follow you. Doesn't mean it changes our whole world, but it changes us. And when that changes us, then we change our world. And today, Father, I'm asking you to flip the script in our lives here today. I pray today, Lord, that you will convict us, Lord, of being mediocre, holding to the status quo, being ordinary, run-of-the-mill, average, monotonous, tedious, boring, dull. Lord, help us break the routine in our life, because, Lord, it's not about rituals, it's about relationship. And Lord, relationships are fresh, they're new, they're deep. And today I'm praying, Father, that you will just take our hearts, take our lives here this morning. Men, I don't want you just to be listening to me praying, but I want you to be praying in your heart here today, of rededicating yourself here this morning. If you're not in right relationship with Jesus this morning, I encourage you this morning, make things right. If you blew it this past week, make it right. Confess your sin, and he'll do his part. He will forgive. But if you're here today, and maybe you're still trying to figure out what it is that God's asking you to do, maybe it's, you don't know what that seed is within you, one of the greatest prayers we can say, Lord, speak to me. Show me what it is, where I can be plugged in, whether it be in my home, whether it be in my workplace, in the community, in our church. Today, Father, we're asking in Jesus' name to flip the script. Lord, we're asking today for a change. We're asking God to fill us with your Holy Spirit one more time. Fill us, Lord. Anoint us, Lord. And may people around us begin to recognize that there's something different about us. May our wives, our girlfriends, whoever it is, Lord, may see a difference in us. May our kids see a difference in us. May our co-workers see a difference. May our neighbors see a difference in us. Father, we just come to you. We just surrender to you today. And Lord, I'm excited what you're going to do in our hearts and our lives. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves. Lord, we may not be an Apostle Paul. But Lord, we want to be us. We want to be me. Here I am, warts and all. We surrender to you. I pray a blessing over these men, Father. I pray that you'll give them the courage and the boldness, Lord, to make some commitments to you. To move forward with you, Father. To get into your word. To be praying and being available to whatever you call them to do. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.